Last 3 weeks, we've been on a journey. These messages are entitled The Summer Joyride. And let's start out with Psalms 118, verse 24. Just dive right into this. This is our text that we've been using for the last 3 weeks. How many have been here the last couple weeks? You've been following us, trending with us? Anybody was with you? Okay, so how many of you are ready to hear part three? There's an important part to this. And in Psalms 118, worship team, you guys did great. Come on, give it up to our worship team. Thank you. And Tom, you could just stay with me, okay? Hallelujah. But you're coming back, okay? Don't get lost. Don't go outside. Stay in the room. Help me preach, okay? Don't go smoking outside now. Just looking around, just checking who's here, who's been naughty or nice. Good to see you. Good to see you online. Psalms 118, verse 24, it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." We will rejoice and be glad and be glad. Anybody glad today? And be glad. So it's not just rejoicing, but God wants you to bring some gladness in. He wants you to be glad. In the middle of the heat, He wants you to be glad. Again, I believe that God has impressed upon me in just my time of praying and seeking Him that this summer season, that we are to place a high priority on the biblical understanding of joy and rejoicing. The reason why I want to preach this morning and deliver this word is, again, I believe it is crucial for us as a people to have this truth as we move forward in this summer. I believe it's the answers and the help that so many of us have been seeking and searching for. And what I'm teaching right now, if you can hear it, there's help for you. If you can hear it, there's answers for you in your circumstances and in your situation. So all summer long, we're just planning on pressing into this idea of getting an understanding of joy and rejoicing. For so many, life has robbed you of your joy. Most people are not enjoying life. It don't take much to cause us to be sad or to have a bad day. They say about 80% of most people don't enjoy life. That's sad. The Bible says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be sad in it." God's looking for some glad, church-going people. The good news is that we've been given a secret weapon. It's called the joy of the Lord, and with it, we fight back against the fear, the anxiety, the depression, the sadness, the struggle, the circumstances, the difficulties. It is the joy of the Lord is a weapon in the hands of the believer. And if you ever start using it, I'm here to tell you, it'll drive fear out of your life. It'll drive the anxiety. It'll drive the depression out of your life. Before we get back into our review and conclude what I feel is so important today to talk about, is I felt it necessary to kind of hit on this idea or this truth. It is absolutely God's will for you to be joyful. I know that might be a shock to some of you or you've never thought about that, but again, most church-going people, they don't think God wants them to be happy. In fact, most people think that happiness is almost a sin. Actually, it would be in the reverse. It's not wrong to be happy. In fact, being happy is actually God's plan for your life. It's absolutely God's will for your life. And I want to take the time and get that in your heart and your spirit that God wants you happy. And I'm using the word happy because it's not just joyful. God wants you glad. God wants you happy. Not with the counterfeit that the world offers, but there is a happiness and there is a gladness and there is a joy that God wants to see operating in your life. And when it operates in your life, you won't need those pills. You won't need that bottle. Come on, it'll force the depression. It'll force the anxiety. It is the weapon. It's the believer's weapon. Let me give you just a few verses that convey this thought. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 15. This is the wisest man that ever lived. Here's what he said, David's son Solomon. He says, so I recommend having fun. Woo! Can't even get an amen over that one right there. I recommend having fun because there is nothing better for a people in this world than to eat. Somebody shout amen. Some of you get grumpy, they take your food away. God wants you to eat. To eat, drink, and what? Enjoy life. I bet some of you didn't even realize this verse was in your Bible. There is nothing better. There is nothing better for people in this world to eat, drink, and enjoy life. Notice this. That way they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. Don't miss this. If you want joy on the journey of life, then this is where you have to begin. You have to believe this Bible verse. You have to believe that God wants you to enjoy life. There is nothing better, the Bible says. There is nothing better, the Bible says. The Bible says there is, I didn't come up with this. The Bible says, your Bible says, your God says, there is nothing better than having fun while you're working hard or while you're doing life. How many of you know it's hard work to come to church and fan yourself? And God wants you to smile and have fun while you're doing the hard go. If I could get somebody happy in this place, I'm telling you, the miracle's on the other side of you're happy. How many of you know it's hard work to build a great marriage? It's hard work. But God wants you to have fun while you're building that. How many of you know it's difficult to raise kids? Come on, somebody. I need to hear some parents of some teenagers that's believing for some miracles at camp this week. God says in all of that hard work that you have to do, I want you to enjoy life. I want you, there's nothing better than you having fun. Put that verse back on the screen. Keep these verses. Can I tell you, there's nothing that I will say that will be more important than that Bible verse right there. That's the reason why I'm always keep that Bible, because that Bible verse can change your life. I recommend you having fun. Tap your neighbor and say, that's for you. That's worth coming today. Having fun because there's nothing better. There's nothing better. And I could park there, but let me make this notation here. The Bible's not saying that this is the only thing that matters. There's a lot of other things in your walk with God that absolutely matters. But the Bible is saying that there is nothing better than you having fun. Wow. God doesn't enjoy your sadness. He doesn't enjoy your discouragement. He doesn't want you to get up moody and grouchy. God is looking for a people. God is looking for a people that enjoy their life. In John chapter 10, just let me give you a few of them. John chapter 10, we've already looked at this one, but in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, a thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come, Jesus says, I've come, this is the reason why I've come, that they may have and enjoy life, hello somebody, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Notice that Jesus came to give you joy, and Satan is looking to take it away. Oh my goodness. God wants you to have fun. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to enjoy life. In fact, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, let me just give you a few of these. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drink, but it is in the realm of the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. King James Version says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is the way God rules. It's his realm. It's the way he does what he does. It's not the American kingdom. It's not the world kingdom. This is how God's kingdom is supposed to run. God's kingdom has three things: righteousness, peace, and joy, and it's all found in the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom is made up of some joy. God's kingdom is made up of some peace, and he wants you to daily experience it in your life. Notice righteousness is a positional reality, but notice that peace and joy is a felt reality. In other words, he wants you to experience joy. He doesn't want his church to be sad. He doesn't want his church to be depressed. He don't want your marriage to be sad. Come on, there's nothing better. There's nothing better for you to have a happy life. Let me read this out of the CEV version. God's kingdom is about pleasing God, about living in peace, and about true happiness, because there is a false happiness. The world offers you false happiness. Sin offers you false happiness. It's fun for a moment. Yeah, it's fun, but by the next morning, you're going, what the heck did I do? It's pleasing for a moment, but that's not true happiness. I'm taking this word back. Let the devil hijack happiness. God wants his people happy, and the world can't give it to you, and the world can't take God's happiness away. All this comes from the Holy Spirit. Being happy, here's what I'm trying to say. Being happy is not wrong. God is happy, God's kingdom is happy, and God wants you to be happy. And guess what? He gives you the happy to be happy. Our problem is we tend to look in all the wrong places for happiness. Jesus, telling his disciples, says, I've told you these things in John 15, 11. I've told you these things so that you can have true happiness. Why? Because there's false happiness. Jesus says, what I say, the word of God, the Bible, the Bible is Jesus. Jesus is saying, I've told you these things so that you can have true happiness that I have. I want you to be completely happy. So it tells us how we can get completely happy. Turn your phone off and read the Bible. Hello. Get off Instagram and open the Word. Jesus says, my words will give you true happiness. Psalms 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How pitiful, how sad, how depressed is the person who takes refuge in him. That's not what it says. See, you ought to be mad and upset and angry, throwing things. How dare you misquote God? But we're so used to having sadness, we just slunch back, go, well, okay. Devil comes in, steals our joy, steals our happiness, and nobody's fighting for it. God wants you happy. God wants you glad. God wants you full of joy. God wants you dancing. God wants you shouting. God wants you smiling. It's a weapon in your hand, and on the other side of your joy is your miracle. It's your turnaround. It's your breakthrough. God is looking for a happy people. That's the reason why we called ourselves the name we did, Celebration. Celebration should be a party. Welcome to Celebration. It should be the noisiest place in town, right? That's the reason why we called ourselves so, because we're here not having a funeral. We're celebrating that He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's risen from the dead. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'm working a whole lot harder than you are, so you better get in here and help me. I got to get some amens online. I need some help up in here in this. Don't make me preach hard. Jeremiah 17:7. Happy are those who trust in the Lord, who rely on the Lord. Didn't say sad. Didn't say depressed. Here's what I'm wanting to say. The mark of Christianity is not sadness. The mark of Christianity is joy. And if you're sad all the time, you might want to think about getting saved. You might want to think about walking the altar again, to the altar and say, Lord, apparently my Christianity has ran out and run off. I need to get born again, because the true mark of Christianity is not a bunch of Sadducees. But it's a happy place. It's a joyful place. Come on. It's a place of celebration. So I want to just tell celebration this summer. Permission granted to be joyful. Really? Really? I'm not letting you get away with that. Really? The Bible says, shout unto the Lord. Permission granted to be happy, to be joyful, to rejoice. That's what needs to be happening all summer long. And the more we hear that sound of rejoicing, the more we hear that voice of rejoicing, I'm here to tell you, it's going to usher in miracles into our lives. Joy is on the menu today. You ever gone to a restaurant and go, oh man, they don't even have on, man, I hate that. Go in places and it's like, it's not on the menu today. Can I make it loud and clear? Joy. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. Don't know what you're dealing with. Don't know who you're married to. But joy. Woo! Don't know what kind of teenager you're raising. But joy is on the menu. We are serving joy here this weekend and next weekend and come Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We're serving joy around here. We're serving happiness and we're serving gladness around here. We got the fix for your home and your life and your marriage. It's called joy, unspeakable and full of glory. So in Psalms 118, verse 24, it says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Notice God makes the day, and our responsibility is to rejoice. Now, if God is making the day, what is He making that day to be? The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. That He has no evil gifts. So if God is making the day, we know in context that this is the day of salvation. So if God is making the day, He's making it full of salvation, or He's making it full of deliverance. He's making it full of protection. He's making it full of what He's provided through His death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord hath made. He makes the day, and then my job is to rejoice in that day. But I would submit to you, once again, that if you don't rejoice in that day, you'll never see what God made for that day. And I think this is what's going on with so many of us. We get up, instead of rejoicing, we just look at all the problems, and we get sad with all the problems. We get discouraged with all the problems. We get stressed out with all that's going on. But God says, no, I've made the day and I made it a good day. But in order for you to see the good day, I need somebody to open their mouth and rejoice. So let me once again define for you what rejoicing is, because rejoicing is not being quiet. It has to be expressed. In fact, to rejoice means that you are expressing joy. It means that you're expressing joy. It means that you are expressing gladness. So when God says, I make the day, and I need you to rejoice. What God is looking for you to do is to express the joy that he has given you. He's giving you the happiness. We've already taught about that. It's the source of the Holy Spirit within you. Happiness and joy and gladness is in you. God is asking you to rejoice with the very thing that he's already given to you. He's not wanting you to be happy based on happenings out here. We know how to do that. We get a new car, we get happy, right? Right? But if something bad happens, we get sad. Circumstances should not control your joy and happiness. Joy and happiness comes from a person called the Holy Spirit. It's his nature. It's his character. And the Bible says, I am to express that joy and that happiness and that gladness. I am to express that in my life through worship and praise and gratitude. To rejoice means that I am expressing. I'm not just sitting there being quiet. I'm expressing gratitude. I'm expressing my worship. I'm expressing my praise. It's expressing the joy and the happiness that God has put within me. We know we're commanded to rejoice. He says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm to always be expressing that joy. God doesn't give you permission to have a sad day, a depressed day. Why? Because if you yield to depression and discouragement, it takes you into a darker, darker pit. God don't want you to experience the day the devil made for you. God wants you to experience the day that he's made for you. And the way you experience that day is he needs somebody to rejoice, not over the problem, but who he is on the inside that can change the problem on the outside. So God says, here's what I need you to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. In other words, you're not to be a one-time rejoicer. You rejoice, and then what do? You do it again. You smile, and you do it again. And you smile, and you do it again. And you shout, and you do it again. And you praise, and it becomes a culture. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes who we are. God is looking for his people. God is looking for his church where there is a culture of rejoicing. You get this church start rejoicing, you won't, I'm telling you, revival will break out in this city. We all want revival. I'm telling you, this is how revival starts. Unfold your hands, open your mouth, get happy and smile and start rejoicing. Yeah, but it's kind of hot in here. Who gives a flip how hot it is? Come on, we're working on revival. We're working on breakthrough. We're working on something that comes Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Bunch of pansy Christians. That's what we got. Bunch of pansy Christians. Want it always to be nice and convenient. The devil's not nice. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you don't get happy and joyful, he'll run your family into the grave. But I'm here to tell you, no weapon formed against us going to prosper because we're a rejoicing church. I want to hear some rejoicers. See, the devil made me mad on that one. I'm telling you, we're going to be a rejoicing church. We're going to be a glad church. We're going to be a happy church. In fact, I almost forgot it. You could just, I have, every time I start feeling sad, I grab the psalmist out, the great psalmist. I don't know if you've ever heard the psalmist of old. When I'm feeling just, because if you hear what I'm saying, you'll start getting scared if you're sad. You'll start being concerned if you're depressed. You'll start getting concerned if you're quiet. If there's not a leap in your step, a rejoicing in your heart, it should concern your life because you're not going to see the day that God has made. You're lining up for what the enemy has for you. Come on, this is revelation. So you know what I do? I just grab my phone. Thank God for phones in times of when you're sad. And here's what we do. We just, the psalmist of old. Let's see if I can do this. Because I'm happy. You know what's funny? If some of you haven't smiled the whole time and it took a secular song, somebody, oh, because we come to church and we get all sanctimonious and we get all quiet and act like God don't want no happiness in here. I'm here to tell you, we're taking happy back. Come on, we're taking happy back. Okay, see, enough of that. Somebody start taking their shirt off upstairs, so we don't want that. Getting too happy in here, just getting too happy in here. See, y'all got happy now. I could send you home. We can do part four next week now, huh? Psalms 118, verse 15. This verse is rocking my world. I'm gonna say it every week until it gets in the heart of this church. It says, the voice of joy and deliverance shall be in the tabernacles. The word tabernacles means dwelling place of the righteous. In other words, Wherever the righteous is dwelling, there should be the voice of joy. One translation says the sound of joy. If we're coming in here and having church and you're righteous and I'm righteous and there's not a sound of rejoicing, then we did not do church right. If you're driving in your car and you're a righteous person and there's not a sound of rejoicing coming out of you, you're not doing life right. If you wake up in the morning and you're a righteous person, you don't get up on the wrong side of the bed. You always get up on the right, and there should be a sound. Bless God, it's Monday. Come on, let's take on the day. And Tuesday and Wednesday, and having a wonderful Wednesday. We used to have that saying back when we started the church, a marvelous Monday. Anybody remember that? Terrific Tuesday. Had to brainwash people into happy. The Bible says that wherever righteous people are, wherever they dwell, there should be the sound. I felt like the Lord spoke to me weeks ago. Just listen for the sound. Every weekend that you come in, you'll know that you're getting where I want you to be when you start hearing the sound come up out of Royce Theater. I'm not hearing it yet. That's our job. If you're righteous, I want to hear a sound come out of you. Somebody needs to rejoice right in the back. Somebody needs to rejoice right now. So what I don't know if you understand, see, you might think that's insignificant, but that scares the hell out of the devil. You don't know that's more powerful than you think. And let me show you in just a moment. But where the righteous dwell, there should be the sound or the voice of what? Not sadness, not griping, not complaining. There should be the sound of expressing joy. And the Bible says, if I can get sound there, I can get deliverance there. Does anybody need any deliverance? Could anybody use some God help? Does anybody need some God help? Come on, hear me. Could anybody be honest enough to say, I need some God help? Well, what you don't need is more people laying hands on you. You need to let a sound come out of your voice, the sound of joy. Because God says, if I can get a righteous person rejoicing, I can show deliverance right there. Deliverance is on the other side of your rejoicing. Deliverance. I'm listening for a sound. When I go home, you know what I'm listening for? The sound that's in our home that me and my wife make. Is it a good sound? Is it a sound of rejoicing? I'm not talking about being crazy and loud all the time, but is the sound a sound of joy? Or is it a sound of complaining? Or did we talk about other people all day? Or did we complain and gripe? Or is there a sound of faith? Is there a sound of joy? Is there a sound of gladness in our house? In my car, I'm listening for the sound. Wherever I go, I'm listening for the sound. Because God says, if I can find the sound where the righteous are, I'm going to bring deliverance into that place. If you need deliverance, if you need deliverance in your life, it's closer than you think. It could be as simple as getting happy. It could be as simple as rejoicing. Last week, we showed you and we finished up with this thought. So we're commanded to rejoice. We're told to rejoice. But then last week, we talked about what we're to be rejoicing in. And that's huge revelation. If you wasn't here, I'd encourage you to go back and watch that. But I feel like that's so much the missing piece because it brings perspective. But let me just quickly remind you what the Bible tells us to rejoice about. Psalms 35, verse 9. I'll just show you a couple of the verses. We showed many of them last week. Psalms 35, 9, it says, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in" what? "His salvation." We are to rejoice in our God, and we are to rejoice in the salvation that he has given us. Your rejoicing has nothing to do about your problems. Your rejoicing has everything to do with God and what he has provided for you. Psalms 20, verse 5. Here it is again. We are to rejoice in what? Your salvation. And in the name of our God. Now again, salvation isn't just going to heaven. Salvation encompasses everything that God has blessed you with through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So it has healing and deliverance and breakthroughs and miracles. All the promises, all the blessings are wrapped up into that one word called salvation. And God says, when you rejoice, here's what you're rejoicing in or about. You rejoice over your God, and you rejoice in the gift of salvation that he has given you. So, this could be your working definition of rejoicing now. Rejoicing is expressing joy. It's expressing gladness in response to God and his gift of salvation. So it's not just expressing joy. It's not just expressing gladness. But to rejoice is to express that joy and gladness over your God. Lord, I love you. I worship you, Father. God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for helping me. That's rejoicing. It's not just be happy, 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 happy. The psalmist didn't have it all right. I'm to rejoice over my God, and I'm to rejoice over what he has provided in salvation. So really, the next step for most of us would be to find out what God provided in salvation. Has God saved anybody here in this building? Then you're supposed to rejoice over the fact that you've been saved. Come on, can I hear any rejoicers? And then let me ask another one. I'm just going to help you so you can really get... Has anybody ever been forgiven by God? Come on, online, in the room. Has anybody been... Then you're supposed to rejoice over the fact that he's wiped away your sins, never to remember them. Oh, never to remember them anymore. We can rejoice about that the rest of our lives. I mean, it's only people that remember your sins. God forgives them and God forgets them. Could anybody get happy over the fact that God's not mad at you? Has God promised you anything? Then you need to rejoice over that. Has God promised to deliver you? Then you need to rejoice over that. Has God promised to heal you? Then you need to rejoice over that. Has God promised to be your provider? Then you are to rejoice over that. The rejoicing that God is looking for is the rejoicing that is rejoicing in what God's salvation has provided. So hear this, because this is where we get confused. We're not rejoicing over our problems. We are rejoicing over the fact that He saved us from our problems, that He's saving us through our problems, that He's saving us out of our problems. And if you'll rejoice, guess what? You're coming out of your problems. You're coming out of that situation. So here's the powerful truth about rejoicing. If God can get you to rejoice, hear this. If God can get you to rejoice over your salvation and not your condition, then salvation will show up in your life. Then help will show up in your life. Then joy will show up in your life. If God can get you to rejoice over salvation and not your circumstances, guess what's going to happen? Breakthrough will show up in your life. Deliverance will show up in your life. Healing will show up in your life. It is the master key to having breakthrough in your life. Now, before I close, I'm going to show you two little stories to prove my point. But most people in this room, listening to me online, you need some God help. And I'm here to tell you, hear this preacher today. The master key to seeing that situation turn around in your life is your rejoicing in God's salvation. Not rejoicing in the circumstance, not rejoicing in the problem, but if I'll rejoice in the salvation, then the salvation will show up in my life. If I'll rejoice over the healing, over the fact that by the stripes I am the healed of the Lord, then healing will show up in my life. If I'll rejoice over the fact that He supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory, guess what's getting ready to happen? Resources are getting ready to show up. God is looking for you to be a rejoicer, and He's looking for you to rejoice over the salvation, over the deliverance, over the breakthrough. It is the master key to turning your situation around. Let me show you this real quick. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, Habakkuk. You got to say that almost with a cough. Habakkuk. Notice what it says here. God's talking about His people. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there's no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. Come on, this is a bad day for these people. Can I remind you that these people were farmers? They depended on agriculture. And the Bible is given a description of a complete disaster in their life. This is God's people. I mean, there's no fig trees, there's no blossoms, there's no grapes, there's no vines, there's no olives, it's all failing. The fields are empty and barren, even though the flocks die and the animals are dying. Everything is dying, and the cattle barns are empty. Nothing has produced in their life. It's all died off. It's all one big mess. Things could not be worse in these people's lives. Come on, am I talking to anybody here today? You know what this is a picture of? Of everything that could go wrong, went wrong for these people. Some of you sit here today, some of you online, you're connecting with this. Sounds like my life. It's all messed up. It's all dried up. It's all dead. Verse 18, but notice what they did. Because most people would say, well, there's no reason to rejoice. It's bad. I have every reason to be sad and depressed and discouraged. And notice what they did, Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice. Notice when everything that could go wrong went wrong, guess what they chose to do? They chose to do the Bible. They did what I've been teaching for the last 3 weeks. They did the rejoicing thing over the salvation of the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will. Notice they chose to do it because it's a choice to rejoice. If you rejoice, it's because you want to. If you don't rejoice, it's because you don't want to. It is a choice. Somebody say it's a choice to rejoice. So they're choosing to rejoice. They said, I will be joyful in the God of what? What are they rejoicing in? They're rejoicing in their God of their salvation. Why? Because that's the master key. When everything that could go wrong was going wrong, they could have said, we don't have a reason to be happy. Might as well just live the rest of our life in sadness and depression and discouragement. But that's not how it's supposed to be for God's people. When things go wrong, when everything's going wrong that could go wrong, that's when you make the decision, yet I will rejoice. I'm going to make the decision. I'm not going to get sad. I'm going to rejoice, not in my problem, because I need my problem to change. I'm going to rejoice in my God, the one that can deliver me, the one that can set me free, the one that can help me, the one that can heal me, the one that, come on, the one that can make a difference. You start rejoicing over your deliverer, and the deliverer is going to show up in your life. And exactly what happens, God shows up in their life. The rest of the verses, the rest of the chapter, God shows up. God gives them strength and helps them, delivers them. They start riding, the Bible says, on the high mountains. Here to tell somebody today, if you want things to turn around in your life, if you need breakthrough in your life, then rejoicing is your answer. You can't be as hot as me. You ought to be louder than me. Come on, this is our help. You can make the decision to be sad over your sad issue, or you can change your issue by being joyful. God says, this is a master key, and I don't need Sadducees in my church. I need a people who will rejoice and turn the situation around. One more. How many of you got time for just one more, and we're done? In Joel chapter 1, we see the same kind of issue, same kind of story. God's people, God speaking to his people through the prophet. He said, the vine has dried up. The fig tree has withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also. The apple tree, all the trees of the field are withered up. How many of you know that's a bad day? Come on, these are not Bible stories for them. The Bible teaches us that these were put in the Bible for our example so that we can learn from them. This is like you lost your job, you lost your dog, you lost your marriage, you lost everything. It's a bad day. This was a bad day for these people. The apple tree is gone. All the trees have withered. Well, that's a great question to ask right there. Well, why in the world has everything withered away? Aren't you glad the Bible tells us? Why is it so bad? God goes on to tell us, because joy has withered away. Could it be that your life is withering away because your joy has withered away? Could it be that the church is not effective in our nation because our joy has withered away? Therefore, our life, God says it's bad. It's worse than probably what you think. But let me tell you why it's withered away. Now, you're going to have to be a little mature to handle this word. But sometimes you got to take responsibility and say, you know what? I got to start rejoicing. Because this sad thing and this depressed thing is not getting me to where I want to be. I mean, think about it. Who wants to hang around with a mean, grouchy, depressed, sad person all day long? And we want the world to come to church with us when we're worse than them? At least they're happy. I want to make sure this is landing, because we're there. We're closing this. Why was their life? Why did their lives wither away? Because their joy withered away. Wow. Randy, could it be really that things are not like you want them to be because you haven't been rejoicing over your God. You come in, do the religious thing. No joy in the house. No sound of rejoicing in the house. God knows your heart. People say that all the time, well, God knows my heart. That's not always a good thing. Well, you know, God knows my heart, Pastor. Yeah, he does. Probably shouldn't be saying that. He knows, he really knows. So many of us in the church are living withered lives. Churches are living withered ministries. I'm just here today to change that. I believe I found a master key. I believe this summer it's our focus. And I believe if we'll press in on it and we just gather week in and week out, and as we begin to hear the sound of rejoicing and the sound of gladness, guess what's getting ready to happen in that place? Deliverance is getting ready to happen. Amen. But notice the problem was because they were not rejoicing. Could your problem be, I know you don't like to hear this, but could your problem be because you're not rejoicing? Because you've been given a powerful weapon. It is a weapon sent by God. It's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And he wants to be released out of you. He wants to be heard. He wants that joy coming out. He wants that gladness. And it is a weapon. It is a weapon to turn depression around. And discouragement around, and sad things around. Oh, we live in the world. We're going to face things all the time. We're not denying our problems. We're just denying their right to exist in our lives. We found out how to get deliverance over them. We found out how to get through them. It is a rejoicing. It's a heart of gladness. Woo! Somebody's getting it. Somebody's getting it. I said, somebody's getting it. The Bible says it's bad because there's no joy among the people. I'm almost done, but this is huge. We think just the opposite. We think there's no joy because everything is bad. Hear that today. But the Bible says it was bad because there was no joy. I'm going to say that again. This is bigger than you think. We think there's no joy because everything is bad. But the Bible said it's bad because there's no joy. I heard somebody say this a couple weeks ago when he said, I was out there trying to get this gut off and run and just, you know, I like ice cream and it's a challenge, you know, and I'm running and I'm listening to this preacher and he says something that caused my heart to skip. He said this, and I want you to hear it today because it fits right here. Here's the question you need to answer. Are you sad because it's bad, or is it bad because you're sad? Oh, I'm going to say it one more time. Are you sad because it's bad, or is it bad because you're sad? You see, for God's people, first comes the rejoicing, then you'll see the good. Father, help me get this in this. That's called faith. We don't live by sight. First comes, in the kingdom of God is called faith. First comes the rejoicing, which is faith. Then you will see the good. It's not seeing the good, then you rejoice. No, we rejoice first when we have no reason to rejoice, when we don't feel like rejoicing, when we would rather not rejoice. We say, I will rejoice. Yet I make a decision. It's a choice. In this ugly situation, I will get happy. I will rejoice. Are you sad because it's bad? Or is it bad because you're sad? You see, as believers, we're not rejoicing because it's good. It's good because we are rejoicing. Woo! So I don't have time to finish it, but you got to read the rest of Joel chapter 2. What happened? These people got away from God. They were backslidden. They weren't rejoicing. They lost their joy. So their lives were in a mess. So God tells them, here's what I need you to do. It's your answer. It's my answer. Look at verse 21. He says, here's how you're going to fix this problem. Fear not, O land. Be sad and depressed. Fear not. Be glad and. Nothing was, stand to your feet all over this building. I think I can get a better shot with you standing right here. Just to fake you out, to make you think we're about ready to go. Amen. Come on, I'm hearing for the sound of rejoicing. We know celebration is getting somewhere when there comes a voice of rejoicing. Notice what it says here. God says, here's how you're going to fix this mess. He says, the reason why you're in a mess, the reason why everything has withered away is because your joy has withered away. Man, I hope you get this. This is a master key. Can I remind you? I know I'm belaboring. I know I'm going over, but you got to get it. The kingdom of God operates by three specific things, and two of them are felt realities, and they are peace and their joy, and you should be experiencing them every day of your life. Their life was a mess because they stopped rejoicing. Could it be in America that the condition of the church is a direct result because the people of God are not rejoicing? I would say aloud, yes and amen. But we've come to turn that thing around. We are a rejoicing church. We are rejoicing, not over the problem, but over the God that can change the problem. So he says, here's how you're going to fix it. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice. And if you'll do that, for the Lord will do great things. He says, if I can get you to rejoice, if I can get you happy, if I can get you to release gladness, if I could get you just to put a fake smile on your face because you're really depressing me. This is serious business. If I had more time, I could have showed you that Jesus was the happiest human that ever lived on planet Earth. Some of you don't see a Jesus like this. Did you know that God is a happy God? Some of you don't think God is being happy. So we go in all, searching in all the wrong places, trying to find joy and happiness. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness and joy above all of humanity, which means when Jesus walked the earth, he was the happiest man that ever lived. No wonder why the kids wanted to be around him. Children don't want to be around somebody who's sad, somebody that's grouchy, somebody that's mean. And the disciples tried to tell the kids to get away from Jesus. He said, oh no, forbid them. Bring the children unto me. Sinners wanted to hang out with Jesus. The only people that didn't like Jesus was the religious church going sad people. They got upset because he was always at parties, always eating, always drinking. He was upset at their disciples because they weren't mourning and fasting. And he says, why the, oh my, because I want to preach right here. He said, why the bridegroom is here, it's not time to be sad. It's time to be happy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God is looking for a happy church. The Bible says your God sits in the heavens and weeps and cries over your problems. The Bible says God sits in the heavens and laughs. You think I'm crazy? Read your Bible. God laughs. And you know what he's laughing at? Is the ploys of the enemy. Because he knows they are useless if he could ever get his people to laugh with him. God wants a laughing, happy, joy. I don't know how I can preach this anymore, but I'm here to tell you God is looking for celebration to come alive in its celebration and in its rejoicing. And the end of the story for these people is God says, I will show you great things. I wonder what great things are on the other side of your rejoicing. I'm here to tell you, you can turn this thing around. Some of you are miserable with your marriage. I'm here to tell you, quit nagging about it and start rejoicing. Quit being critical and depressed. Shut your door like I told you last week. Shut your door. Get alone and start rejoicing and start praising and start worshiping. Act like a fool until you get victory in the heart. You were made to express. Don't look at me. You were made to express joy. I've seen some of you out at the club Friday night. You were crazy. You were wild. You were expressing. And God wants his people to express his joy in his house, in his dwelling place. All right. I think I've almost preached myself happy. Are you happy? You happy? You always look happy. So God said, it's withered away because your joy withered away. So they start rejoicing, and guess what happens? God sends the former and the latter rain. He starts bringing rain. He starts bringing rain. How many of you know rain turns everything green again? How many of you could use some rain right now, turn everything green? And rain begins to come. Right. And the Bible says blessings begin to come upon them, the former and the latter rain, and God began to restore to them. The Bible says that he began to restore the years that the locust has eaten away. How many of you need restoration in your life? I'm here to tell you God's looking to restore. That's the great things that he's doing. When you begin to rejoice, he'll bring the former and the latter rain. He'll bring a restoration to your life. Everything the enemy has stolen, everything the enemy has taken, God can give it back. God can restore it back. What? When you worship, when you praise, and when you rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has God saved you? Then you should rejoice over that. Has God forgiven you? We should rejoice over that. Come on, has God given anybody any promises in here? We ought to rejoice over that. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this master key, Lord, to breakthroughs and miracles in our life. God, let joy come back to your people. God, in our nation, in our churches, let joy come back to our people. God, help us to see it as the great weapon that it is that you have given to the church. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The psalmist David said this. I think so many of us, so much of the time, could relate with this. He said, why am I discouraged? Some of you are here today. Why am I discouraged? I can't get out of this funk. I can't get out of this sadness. Well, why is the church discouraged? It's almost like a plague. I mean, you got to scream and yell and come on, get excited. It's just not there. David had the same issue. He said this. He said in Psalms 42:5, he says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Here's your key. I'll put my hope in God. I will praise him again with a voice of joy, my Savior and my God. I don't know if I gave him that verse, but I want to read it again so you get it. He says, why am I discouraged? Why am I so sad? All right, let me be honest with you. This message was not for you. It's just for me. I always preach from where I'm at. I've been here more times than I've wanted to be. But I found a master key. that can turn that around. Come on. And just like discouragement and depression will spread like cancer, I'm here to tell you, joy can spread. It can get contagious. You ever hang out with happy people? Come on, somebody. Hang out with some happy people and you'll get... And David said, why am I so sad? He says, what I'll do is I'll start putting my trust, I'll start hoping in God. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'll praise Him and I will lift up my voice of joy. Even David knew how to get out of his situation. How do you get out of your situation? Rejoice. Rejoice. Wherever the righteous people dwell, there should be a sound of rejoicing. Oh, we love you, Lord. Wherever the righteous people dwell, there should be a sound. Father, we love you in this place today. We worship you, Lord. Father, thank you for this moment that we could come together as a collective body and worship you and lift our voices to you and to praise you. Father, we refuse for our joy to wither up. We're going to rejoice over our God who always is faithful, our God who always comes through. Father, we rejoice in this place. Rejoice in this place, Lord.